Samuel 16. Also, have your finger ready in 19, chapter 19. We're going to flip over to between 16 and 19 this morning, and so kind of be ready for that. In chapter 16, if you remember correctly from our study here in 2 Samuel, King David is at one of the lowest points of his life. His son Absalom had rebelled against him. His son, his very own son, had stolen his throne. Not only that, his son wanted to kill his dad, and David was forced to flee with some of his loyal men from the royal city of Jerusalem. And I want you to imagine with me, because remember, David, I mean, he was a man. He put on his pants just like we do, guys, and he had the same emotions, the same feelings that we go through. And I want you to imagine for a moment how difficult this was. I mean, you talk about gut-wrenching. As David is fleeing, he came through a city by the name of Bahurim. There was a man there that met him in Bahurim. The guy's name was, you pronounce it, Shimeah. How many of you have ever heard the expression, kicking a man while he's down? Well, that's never more true than what happens here. Look with me at 2 Samuel 16, verse 5. It says, "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimeah, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left." Talking about David. David had his mighty men with him out there. We studied that. Remember, he had 600 guys with him. And it says in verse 7, "And thus said Shimeah, when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial," calls David a man of Belial, a false god. Verse 8, "The Lord hath," he says to David, "the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man." Verse 13, "And as David and his men went by the way, Shimeah went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust." Would you all say he had the personality of a rattlesnake? Shimeah was of the house of Saul. Obviously, he had nursed a deep grudge against David for years. Abishai was one of David's military generals. How did he respond to this guy? I want you to look at verse 9. Go back to verse 9. After this guy accuses David, curses and swears, throws rocks at him. Verse 9. "Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." He says, "David, you just say the word, and I'm going to go amputate that guy's head from his body." Abishai had heard enough. He was going to get revenge. David was amazingly merciful. And he allows this guy, Shimeah, to embarrass him and to disgrace him. Later on in chapter 19, these three same men meet again. David, Shimeah, and Abishai. They all meet up again in chapter 19. What is going to happen when they all meet up again? Because David's back on the throne. He's coming back on the throne in chapter 19. Absalom's been killed in battle. How would David respond to this man who had offended him so greatly? Would he take revenge? Would he execute judgment? Would he let Abishai take his head off? You know, would Abishai finally get his desired revenge when David's back on the throne? Now, here's where I'm going with this morning. All three men here, Shimeah, Abishai, and David, the three men that we're talking about, all of them were offended in some way. Offenses in life are bound to come. Let me let you in on something, folks. People are going to hurt you. People are going to do you wrong. People are going to disappoint you. People are going to treat you unfairly. But really, the question isn't if all that's going to happen, because it is. Really, the key question, and this is what you have control over, is how are you going to respond? And bottom line, I don't have any control over your actions. You could curse and swear at me after the service this morning. I hope you don't. But you could curse and swear, go out and get some rocks out there in the flower bed, throw them at me as I leave the building. And I really don't have any control over your actions. But you know what? There is one person I do have control over his actions. Who is that? Yeah, me. So the question is, how am I going to respond when people hurt me and disappoint me and offend me? And that's where I'm going with this. You see, there are three responses represented by these three. Well, that's better than the alarm going off, isn't it? I get a little excited, and you have to excuse me. But there are three responses to offenses, and they're all represented by these three men, Shimeah, Abishai, and David. Now, at the end of the message, I want you to tell me which response of these three men is the most like Christ. Number one, let's look at the first one. The first response you can have when people offend you is you can be like Shimeah, and you can become bitter and critical. You can become bitter and you can become a critical person. Shimeah, you read it a minute ago here, was of the house of Saul. Now, Saul was the former king, you remember, of Israel that God rejected. And you remember, David replaced Saul. Shimeah had obviously been holding on to bitterness for a number of years against David. He didn't like David. He didn't like him. Now, I don't even know that he personally knew David. He just didn't like him. He was very critical of him because of the fact he's of the house of Saul, and my ancestor was thrown out on his head, basically, and was replaced by David. And so he's bitter. He's been carrying this bitterness for years. Well, now that David's throne has been usurped, now that David is down for the count, Shimeah is kind of like a cockroach that now comes out of the woodwork. And he decides, this is a great time to allow my internal bitterness to flow out as a stream of poison directed at this man David, who I despise. And so he does that. He comes out, he curses him, he swears, he disgraces David, he throws rocks at him, he accuses David of things. Having a bitter spirit and having a critical tongue is such an ugly thing. Would y'all agree with me that this is ugly, what this guy does? Y'all agree with that? It's just ugly. And that's what it is. Having a bitter spirit and just being a critical person is just a very ugly thing. It really is. I mean, it would be like this, okay? Adam, come up here a minute. Adam Rich. He's one of my son's friends. And Adam came over to the house, and he insulted me in my house, and he offended me. Now, you see that can right there? What does that say?
Poison.
Say it so everybody can hear it.
Poison.
Poison. And I am ticked off at you. And I want you to know, you came over to my house 2 years ago, and I have never forgot what you did. You offended me. You upset me. You made me mad. And I'm going to get even with you now, buddy. How you like that? No, you're not supposed to die, are you? High five on that. That was good. That's a man that's into it right there, buddy. You say, wait a minute. That's ridiculous. You drunk the poison. He didn't. You were going to cram it down his mouth, but you drunk. By the way, none of that's true. I love this guy. He's got a sweet spirit. He's a great, great kid. I love him. But you know what? That is exactly what a bitter spirit is like. Having a bitter spirit is just like drinking poison and then hoping your enemy's going to die from it. And all it does is what? Kills you. A bitter spirit kills you. Thanks, Adam. Thank you. It just kills you. Shimeah was full of the poison of bitterness. He had just drunk it and drunk it and drunk it. And by the way, it's interesting, David really had no clue. David, I don't think he knew this guy. I don't think he knew he was bitter at him. And by the way, that's real common. The person with a critical spirit usually gets bitter at people who never even really intended them any harm. That happens all the time. People get bitter at people, and that the person that they're bitter at many times never really even intended them any harm. They didn't want to hurt them. That wasn't their heart. The person that they're bitter at may not even know they're bitter at them. They don't even know they're bitter. They're just killing themselves. Now, are you a critical person? Now, again, sometimes it's hard to be objective and answer things about ourselves because we don't want to believe it. But be as objective as you can and ask yourself, are you a critical person? And in your handout it says, do you hang on to offenses and allow the cancer of bitterness to eat you up? And that's exactly what it is. Is that the kind of person you want to be? Do you want to be a Shimeah? You see bitterness right there, what an ugly thing it is. Is that what you want to be? You want to be a person given over to a bitter and a critical spirit. Later on, go to chapter 19. Let me show you something here. Later on, Shimeah meets David again. David's on his way back to the throne. He's coming back into Jerusalem. And this man, Shimeah, comes and humbles himself before David and begs for David's mercy. Look at verse 18. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimeah, the son of Gera, fell down. I'm in verse 18, chapter 19. And Shimeah, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. That's a little bit different. He was throwing rocks. Now he falls down before him. Verse 19. And said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. He comes, he confesses his sin to David. He's now willing to be a servant. And by the way, he wants a change of identity. Did you notice that? Did anybody catch that? Did anybody catch that in verse 20, he no longer referred to himself as being from the house of Saul? Now what does he say? I'm of the house of Joseph. He wants a change of identity. Now, I know what a lot of you are asking yourself, because I asked myself this as I studied and prepared the message. Did Shimeah really have a change of heart? Or was he doing what was expedient for him at the time? I mean, David's back in charge now. So, is he doing this to save his neck, or is he really repentant? And you know what? I'll give you a profound answer. I don't know for sure. And I don't think, you know, only God knows the heart. But I do know this. It says in your handout, if you really desire to change, if you want to change your bitter critical spirit, Christ can help you to change. Can I get an amen to that? He can help you to change. He can help you to change. And can you grab me a handout, Denise, real quick? I don't know how I always end up not having one. Well, thank you. You don't need it? Okay. Look in your handout. It says there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you are in Christ today, you have a new identity. Can Christ change the way you think and act? Yes or no? Yes. Look at the bottom of your handout. I can do all things. Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Can we overcome a bitter critical spirit? Yes or no? Yes, we can. There was a book that was written, and a story was told that after the Civil War was over, the great leader for the South there, Robert E. Lee, he was visiting a Kentucky lady, and she took him to the remains of this grand old tree. I mean, this tree had been out there for years in her family ancestry. She took him to this grand old tree in the front of her house. And there she just cried bitterly that the limbs and the trunk of the tree had been destroyed by the Union artillery fire. And so she said all this to General Lee, hoping that he would, you know, say some words of condemnation against the North, and that he would be, you know, bitter like her and just condemn the North and sympathize with her. And after a brief silence, General Lee looked at the tree, and he looked at the woman, and he said, "Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it. Cut it down and forget it." And I don't know who's offended you, I don't know who's upset you, I don't know who's disappointed you, but I'm going to tell you something right now. Just like that tree, you need to cut it down and forget it. You need to let it go completely and entirely. Because we see what an ugly thing a bitter and a critical spirit is. Number two, the second response that we can have when offenses come is represented by Abishai, the general. And that is, you can become full of bold revenge. I want to look at Abishai here. The second man here I want to look at. Go back to chapter 16 real quick. Flip over there. And I want to remind you of what Abishai, what his logic was and what his advice was. Look at verse 9. It says in chapter 16, verse 9, "Then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah unto the king, Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." So Abishai's first response was, he was offended, of course, by this guy doing this to David. So his response is, "Kill him! Take his head off! Get revenge and do it now! And I don't mind being the sword to execute the revenge." Chapter 19, remember when Shimeah came and bowed before David and he pled for mercy and he repented? Abishai steps forward again with some advice for David. Let's see what his advice is. Go to chapter 19. And after Shimeah repents, tells David he's sorry and that he sinned, what's Abishai's advice here? Look at verse number 21. Well, let's go to verse 20. "Shimeah, remember, he said, 'For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king.'" Verse 21, "But Abishai," he steps forward with some advice. "But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, 'Shall not Shimeah be put to death for this? Because he cursed the Lord's anointed.'" Have you noticed that Abishai's solution for every problem is kill him? Simple solution. Kill the guy. He cursed David. Kill him. The guy's on his knees repenting. Kill him. Take his head off. If the only tool you own is a hammer, you tend to approach every problem as if it were a nail. Abishai is thinking the way most of us think. He kicked you when you were down, so now you kick him when he's down. Kick him back, kick him hard, finish him off. When other people offend you and they do you wrong, the human fleshly response is to retaliate in some way. Try to get some revenge. If you've got opportunity, cast them off as a friend. I'm done with you. Avoid them. Give them the silent treatment. Talk behind their back. really make them pay. Make them pay. When we were gone this past week on vacation, we were the place where we were staying. We went over that place with a fine-tooth comb to make sure we didn't leave anything. You know, I'm paranoid about that. I don't like leaving stuff behind. So we went over it with a fine-tooth comb. I got home Saturday morning. I was going to come up here to the office, but I was just going to, Saturday, so I was just going to throw on a pair of jeans and a shirt. And when I woke up that morning and I thought, what am I going to wear? I'm going to wear blue jeans. Immediately it hit me. The brand new pair of blue jeans my wife just bought me and my two favorite pullover polo shirts, I left them at the place. And my second thought was, Denise is going to kill me. I promise, that was my second thought, for real. She's going to kill me. Because I put them in a very weird place when I got there, you know, and that's why I forgot them. I put them apart from everything else, and that's why I forgot. It was my fault. Well, when I called down there, I thought it's going to be a simple thing. I'll call down there. They're going to tell me, oh, yeah, we found it, and we're going to send it. Well, I called down there, and they said, well, we'll check. No one's even in that room now. We'll go and check and see if it's there. They call me back, and they say, Mr. Proctor, we've got bad news. What's wrong? There's nothing there. Nobody's found them. Well, there was a young man my size that was going to go in as soon as we left to put in fresh, you know, stuff for the maids to use. And so I'm like, he took them, you know. And he's got a brand new pair of blue jeans, two nice polo shirts, and he's gonna really enjoy wearing my clothes. So my thought was, I'm gonna call and I'm gonna let them know that stuff didn't fly away, and that you know your guy there. And I'm thinking, my flesh is like, I want to get this guy fired. But then you know what? I got to thinking about it, and I got to praying about it, and I told Denise. Because the fella that worked there, I mean, he was obviously, he was in Florida here. He's some type of an immigrant, very poor, you could tell. And I told Denise, I said, you know, it'd be easy to get bitter about that. I said, but you know what? I said, he probably needs those clothes a lot more than I do. And I said, you know, I said, I got a closet full of clothes. I said, he's probably only got a few clothes to his name. I said, so, oh well. Oh well. But boy, I wanted revenge at first. You know, the Bible says to give place to vengeance, saith the Lord. Give place. The Bible says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Give place to wrath. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Did you know that when we try to get revenge, we're taking God's job description and we're trying to usurp it from God? Did you know when you try to get revenge, you're doing what God says is His job to do? God says, I'll take care of things in my own time. There's a day of accountability. God says, I'll take care of things. You ever heard the expression, I don't get mad, I just get even? Now that sounds tough and cool, but can I tell you that's no way to live life? In your handout, it says the thirst for revenge will drown you. The thirst for revenge will drown you. Don't be an Abishai. Allow Christ to fill your heart with love for others. Even when they've done you wrong, let Christ just fill your heart with love for them. Pray for them and love them. Number three. And this is the last response I want you to see this morning. You can either get bitter, you can either get revenge, or number three, you can allow the beauty of mercy and forgiveness to fill you, like David. If anybody could have easily gotten full of bitterness and revenge, it was David. David had been tossed from his home. David had had his kingdom stolen by his son. David is forced to flee like a wild animal out in the wilderness. And then all of a sudden, this mean-spirited man comes, throws rocks at him, curses at him, swears at him, as they'd say back in the hills of Missouri, mean-mouths him. Just rips him up one side, down the other. Now let me ask you a question. Would you have been tempted to take the guy's head off? Now don't get spiritual on me now. If you've just been tossed out of your house, you're homeless, you got 600 real tough dudes next to you, and some guy's throwing rocks at you, cursing and swearing at you. Folks, listen, I got to tell you and I got to confess, I've had bad days before, nothing like David's having a bad day. And I've had bad days before in my life when I wanted to take people's heads off for far less than that. David could have unleashed his anger and his frustration on this man, but he didn't do it. I want to read to you how he responded. Look at verse 10. I'm back in chapter 16 now. Let's see how he responds. Chapter 16, verse 10. And the king said, here's how he responds when Abishai wants to go amputate his head. Verse 10. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? So let him curse. Because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. Talk about Absalom. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. Let him curse. For the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Wow. Whew. You know, I was reading that, and I thought, why would David think that God sent this guy to rebuke him? Why would David think that? Why would he say, don't worry about it, I guess God sent him to do this, just let it go? And I thought, why would David say that? Think about it. I don't think that God sent the guy to curse and swear David. That's a sin. What this guy did was sinful and wrong, and I don't think God tempts people with evil. God's not going to tell the guy to go sin. So I don't think at all that David's accurate in what he's saying, but yet I can appreciate the unbelievable humility in David. Why would David even think that? Why would David even think, well, God sent him to do this? I'm going to tell you why. Because David was acutely aware of his own sins. He's thinking in his mind, he's not thinking revenge. David's thinking, I got it coming to me. I got this coming to me. Let him curse and swear. I got it coming. Maybe God will take that and requite me good. He thought, you know, this may just be a part of God's judgment, God's consequences for my own sin. Wow. What a humility. I'm thinking, when other people offend us, what do we tend to do? Man, it sure isn't that. When other people offend us and accuse us and other people come and attack us, our response isn't, well, you know what, I got that coming anyway. Our response is what? Immediately we justify ourselves. Immediately we think things like, I don't deserve this. They're wrong. They need to get it right. They need to pay for this. They've misjudged me. I wasn't wrong. Self-defense mode. When people accuse us, when people offend us, when people misjudge us, when people attack us, we go into self-defense mode. I'm not bad. I don't deserve this. I'm good. And they need to be judged for what they're doing. Exactly the opposite of David. David's like, you know, I got this coming. This could just be part of God's plan to bring consequences for my own actions. No, Abishai, don't go take his head off. Let him curse. Let him swear. In chapter 19, how does David respond the second time? When this guy comes and repents and falls down at the feet of David, in verse 20, he says, "For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king." And then Abishai says, "Hey, look, David, aren't you going to kill this guy? You're back on the throne now. Kill him." Verse 22, here's how David responded. This is so amazing to me. But verse 22. And David said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day a king over Israel? Therefore the king said unto Shimeah, thou shalt not die. And the king sware unto him." Wow. David said, look at me, church. He said, "I'm taking your apology at face value. I'm forgiving you. Thou shalt not die." What welcome words to the ears of a sinner. How many of you remember when God said those words to you? When you were a sinner and the wages of sin is death, but yet Jesus Christ went to Calvary and there on the cross, he took your sins and my sins and there he bore them in his own body. There he paid the price on that cross for my sin. And the moment that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God says to you, "Yes, the wages of sin is death, but thou shalt not die. I'm giving you eternal life. Your sins have been taken care of by my Son on the cross. Thou shalt not die." When Shimeah said, "I have sinned," don't you think David's mind went back to a few months prior when the prophet Nathan confronted him with his own sin? And David uttered the exact same words, "I have sinned." Something fascinating. Go back to chapter 12 and let me show you that story. When David had committed his gross sin against God, and Nathan the prophet comes to confront him. If you look at chapter 12, verse 13, notice David's response. And I want you to see if these words sound familiar. Verse 13, chapter 12, verse 13. "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord." I have sinned. "And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin." What does he say next? "Thou shalt not die." Look up here. The exact same words. When Nathan said to David, confronted him with his sin, and David said, "I have sinned." Nathan said, "Okay, David, you've owned up to it. You've admitted it. God's forgiven you. Thou shalt not die." A few months later, Shimeah comes to David, says, "David, I'm so sorry, I have sinned." The exact same words David said to Nathan, "I have sinned." David looks at him and he says the exact same words that Nathan told him. He looks at Shimeah. He says, "It's okay, man. Thou shalt not die." Do you know what the key is to being filled with the beauty of mercy and forgiveness? By the way, would you agree with me that what David did is a beautiful thing? Do y'all agree with that? Would y'all agree with me that what Shimeah did in chapter 16 was ugly? You know what the key is to being filled with the beauty of mercy and forgiveness? Here it is in your handout. We must remember our own sin against God and His forgiveness of our sins. That's how David could do that. David remembered his own sins. That's why he was so merciful and forgiving to Shimeah. In your handout, Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath" what? "Forgiven you." There are three men we saw today. All three men were offended by the actions of another person. How did Shimei respond? He was full of a bitter and a critical spirit. How did Abishai respond? He was full of a revengeful spirit. How did David respond? He was full of a merciful and forgiving spirit. Now, which one is the picture of Jesus Christ? David. What a picture of Christ. Hey, when they cursed Jesus Christ, when they mocked him, when they reviled him, did he deserve it? Yes or no? No. He didn't deserve it. But what did he say? He's up there on the cross and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He gives them the benefit of the doubt. In your handout, it says, how beautiful is a person full of Christ-like mercy and forgiveness. It's a beautiful thing to behold. Did we learn something today? Amen? If you didn't learn anything, we wasted our time, right? But you learned about Shimei, Abishai, and David. Which one will you be like? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.